Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just lift up to you this evening. We just receive you, Lord. We thank you. We can come together here under this roof into this house that we call your house tonight, Lord. And we thank you for the word that we're going to hear from our brother Harry in just a minute. We thank you, Lord, for ministry that you will do. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before I turn Harry loose on you, I've got one small but very important matter of highly spiritual significance I got to mention. We were talking on Sunday about the February fellowship being a potluck and that the theme was Chinese. So just to be clear, I don't want anybody to stay home just because they don't like Chinese. The idea was just to kind of do something unified. But, you know, if you don't like Chinese, bring something you do like. Okay? Oh, once upon a time.
There was a recipe.
Once upon a time. There was my... Okay, it was a cold, wet, rainy, snowy day in Snowmass. And Fran and I both had the day off. And we didn't really know for sure what we were going to do with ourselves. And we got this idea. We got this idea that some Chinese food would be good. So we went to the market. And we started thinking, okay, well, let's make some of this. And okay, well, we'll get a little of this, and we'll make a little of this. So we go home, and we start cooking. Next thing you know, we had enough Chinese food to feed a platoon for a month. Uh-huh. And it was all over the counter. We had this huge counter right in the kitchen, and it was covered from one end to the other with stir-fry and spring rolls and fried rice and you know, all of our favorite recipes. Oh, this one's my favorite. I got to make that one, you know. So it was good. So what we're doing, Karen, then I guess is we're giving you an opportunity to learn and stretch and grow, aren't we?
Reach out a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. You got to stretch. Amen. Huh?
Sorry, I was in the restroom. What
are
we doing?
Oh, no, I was just mentioning that the Chinese theme for February Fellowship, I said, don't stay home. Don't not come just because you don't like or can't do Chinese. You know, if you don't like Chinese, can't do Chinese, do something else.
Pizza and ravioli.
Do something you like. Yeah, and next time, and then the next time we can do an Italian theme, and everybody can bring Chinese because they don't like Italian.
Well, if they can make Hawaiian pizza, then I guess we can have Chinese pizza.
That's right.
Hallelujah, Harry. The hot seat. The hot seat's calling, brother. The hot seat.
You're up.
You're up. No. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to rest in the Lord and I'm going to learn something and I'm going to turn my mic off so I can chew my gum and not bother anybody.
Well, praise the Lord. This is going to be a rather interesting little evening, I pray. And I've been working on this for about... bringing this message for about, I've been thinking about it for about 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be totally, that you can get the whole 2 years in 1 hour. It isn't going to happen. I've been excited about this. And it's going to be called the language of God. Now, there's a few more things, a few things I'd like to mention before we get into it. I don't know if anybody's read this Saturday post. And I'm gonna pass it around and let you read. Just read this bottom caption. That's all there is. Have you read this, Bob? Have you seen it? Okay, you pass it around and get the people to see it. This goes to show you how misguided the denominational churches, some of the denominational churches are. This talks about a Presbyterian church. Now, you see, the problem with the denominational churches is that they've kicked the Holy Spirit out of the church. They don't mention him. Why? Because it's controversial. That's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. It's just amazing. It amazes me completely. I went to a church up in the Idledale for a while, and this is where I found out that speaking in the language of God is a help, not something to be afraid of or controversial over. Now, you've heard me in this church. I've prayed in tongues. There's been interpretations. Some of the interpretations were right on, and some of them were out in left field. Interpretation of tongues is a, if it's for the church, it'll be prophetic. In other words, it'll be according to the Word of God. Sometimes it'll be for the church itself, and sometimes it'll be for one individual. And I have had a experience one time when in another church where there was a man that gave a prophetic, he gave a word. And the man that was to speak came from Africa, Bill Klaus. I'd love to see him again. I haven't seen him for years. But I remember Bill Klaus giving a prophetic word in tongues. And it was a strange tongue. It was very strange. He stood up and he was waiting for somebody to give an interpretation. There wasn't any. And it says in the Bible that there should be someone who can interpret. Well, he waited, and then finally this gentleman from Africa stood up, and he pointed to Bill, and he says, "That was for me." He said, "He has instructions from the Holy Spirit for what I am to do." And he says, "You spoke in a perfect dialect of my language." Tongues is not to be feared. You know, it was thrilling. He says, I mentioned this, I also mentioned this, that this guy was, this gentleman from Africa said that, he says, "I have been praying and wondering what I am to do next." He says, "I was really at wit's end." He says, "I didn't know what to do." But he says, he says, "My directions have been completely sealed." He says, "In the Word." And he says, "I'll do what has to be done." So, you know, that is a thrill when you hear something like that. Because a lot of times you hear somebody speaking in tongues, and it's really a strange, strange sound. It's a strange feeling. And then there was another time, a fellow by the name of Fred Thompson. He's a pastor of the church. Now, I don't know if he's still around. He says that he was sitting in a church with another fellow, and the guy next to him stood up and prayed in tongues. Now, this is in a church where there's all Baptists.
Nope.
And what was really strange about it was that this guy spoke in perfect Latin. And Fred Thompson sat there, and he's looking at him, and he says, "That guy speaks. What is it?" And he knew that this man did not know Latin. And he says, perfectly spoken. So, and then when the guy sat down, he turned to Fred, and he says, "Don't you dare tell anybody that I did that." Tongues. It's the language of God. And we all need to acquire this. And it's not that it's a necessity for your salvation. That is not anywhere near it. It is a gift that comes from the Lord. And in the Bible, we see many times where Paul said, "I'd rather you all spoke in tongues." That was a suggestion. "I would rather you all spoke in tongues, but rather that you would all prophesy." So prophesying is better than tongues. And we've been going through the Word of God to see how we live, how we are to live in the Spirit. And this study will be on how we can be more effective in our daily walk with God. He has shown us that through the Holy Spirit is always ready to help us in any way that we ask. How many times Marie and I are looking for a place to park, or looking for a strange place where we got to go, never been there, and then when we get there, "Lord, show us where it is." When we get there, "Oh, there it is." There's a parking spot right by the front door. When was it the last time somebody was just pulling out when we had to pull in? It was perfect timing. Most of our requests should line up with the Word of God. Whenever we pray for something, it should line up with the Word of God, right? I mean, we should be, if we're praying for anything, for health for somebody, that's in the Word of God. If it's for $1 million and a brand new Rolls Royce, forget it. That's nonsense. It's not a blab it and grab it that we've heard about in the last few years. In our last session, I mentioned that the Spirit knows more than your head knows. Your spirit knows more than your head. Think about that. Why? Why would that be? It's because the Holy Spirit is working with your spirit. He does not work in your head. Except, like I told you last time, that there are certain occasions where he'll speak directly to you. Because it's a very important thing. He can't wait for you to sit quietly and listen. Like I mentioned when I was leaving a meeting one time, and he told me that was the last time I go to that meeting. And he spoke very vividly, and very strongly, and very loudly. I was the only one that heard it. And if that's true, why don't we consult that part of our being, since it is in communication with the Spirit at all times, with our Heavenly Father? There is a way that this can be done, and that is by praying in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is a way of communicating with God in a language that the Spirit gives you utterance for. And as you do this, your whole mind and your soul, and that is your mind, and your spirit, your body too, comes down to a place where your mind is emptied of everything except talking to the Lord. And one of the saddest stories of Christian faith is many years ago that many theologians from different denominations decreed that the phenomenon was only originally for the original apostles and not for today. This is totally against the scriptures. As noted in the book of Acts 2:39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off and all who the Lord God will call. Now, there's one thing that those theologians didn't recognize, what it meant, that all, it is for all who are far off. The far off is us, because this meant in the future people, future Christians, everybody, anyone who receives Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior receives the Holy Spirit right away. He just comes in and he kicks the devil out. And your blood changes at that instant into the blood of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and God the Father. So you cannot in any way, shape, or form argue that this is only for those people, for the apostles. Because what about the people that were at that meeting where Peter stood up and spoke? They all received it. Many, many laity received it and spoke in tongues. It's all in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And God does not lie. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 through 5. For anyone who speaks in a tongue that does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Pretty simple, straightforward. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in tongues should pray that he may interpret what he says. That has happened with me a few times, yes. We've had it here. Now, let's turn to Mark 16:17. Now, these are the words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's Mark 16, verse 17. This is what Jesus said. We know that because it's read. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will recover. Glory to God. What does that mean? Look at the power he's given you. He's given us all this power, and we just seem to put it off like, you know, we'll just pray for him, and we'll pray for him, and then, you know, and that's all we ask the Lord to do. Now, I know some of you are thinking that, well, there's churches that have been picking up and playing with snakes. They got bit, and they got hurt. But they were under the belief that they could play with snakes and it wouldn't hurt them. I don't know if any of them ever took a drink of good poison, if you want to call it good, but I'm going to say a strong poison. That's foolishness. The word says not to tempt the Lord. Matthew 4:7, do not put the Lord God to the test. He's giving you directions on how this works. Now, long ago, it must have been about 10, 15 years ago, I read a book about a church in the South Pacific. Now, I think it was either in Malaysia or in Indonesia. I can't remember. I think it was Indonesia. They had a church in a small area, and they decided that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they're not getting any, they go out and evangelize, nothing happens. They seem to be powerless because there's a tremendous amount of demonic worship that's going on in that area. Well, this is the church that got into one evening. They went into a prayer meeting. They decided that from this time on, we will, from the moment that we step in, we will speak in tongues, we will pray in tongues, we don't visit, we don't do anything else, we're just going to sit down, get on our knees, and we're going to pray. That the Lord shows us what to do. And they prayed in tongues. And it wasn't just a few minutes. They spent a few hours. And what happened? The Lord showed them. And what happened was that they heard a tremendous commotion outside. A lot of people were excited and yelling and screaming. And they went outside and they took a look, and the church had a flame of about 2 or 3 feet above the church roof. And it was a big flame. That gives you a chill. And this church was anointed by the Holy Spirit with tongues of flame. And they went back inside, praised God, and just gave glory to God. And they knew now they're going to know what to do. Well, what happened? Well, they went to a tribe of people in the bush, in the forest. And when they got to this tribe of people, they were invited to eat. So they sat down, and they were given food, and they started to eat. The first thing they did is they blessed the food, they sanctified the food. And they began to eat. And he says it was amazing. He says the people were just sitting there staring at him. They finished their food. And they thought, well, these people must be so poor that they're not going to eat. They just give it all to us. When they finished eating, the leader of the group said, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this food, the sanctified dinner. And thank you for the food. But bless these people that they may have food to eat. The witch doctor got up and he stood up and he spoke to the people in the tribe. He just spoke to the whole tribe. And these people all bowed down in front of these people, in front of this group of church people. And then he asked what was going on. And they said, and the interpretation was that they think they're gods. We think that you're a God. but you must be a, your God must be your gods, but your God must be very great. Because we gave you enough poison to kill an army. They were, their intention was that the witch doctor said that the intention was to take all your trinkets and all your tragos and anything else and just kill you and to keep it all to ourselves. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You know, it's when you read these kind of stories, your mind is just boggled. It's exciting. It gives you a chill. It makes your hair stand up. And say, Lord, I want that too. I want that too. It turned out that the witch doctor, right there and then, gave his life to the Lord. And then the tribe did the same thing. That's what you call a doubling of the church. and I mean, that's, to me, that is, it's just, it boggles my mind to see this thing, these things happening. What's happening right outside our church door? We've got the same thing going on right now. People that, like that article I sent around, a Presbyterian church putting their trust in a maze. I've seen a church where they handle beads. They have more strength and more, they have more. I saw that soldier on TV the other night. He had more faith in that little set of beads than he did in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a sad, sad thing to hear. But this is where we're going. This is where the churches are heading. And this is what the people are going for. They're going for the Eastern religions. There's no power in the Holy Spirit there. They don't have that power that we have. We have that power, but are we using it? We are not using it. We're not calling on the Lord to give us the power to go and witness and give people a promise of what they can receive, what they could get, how they can be overcomers in the situations and the difficulties that they're in. Now, concerning the laying of hands, we have no problem with that part because that's what the Lord said. We do this quite often in our church, and we expect results, and we do get results. How about the part of driving out demons? We believe that. I have seen it in some churches. How about the part of speaking in problem, speaking in tongues? Problems, huh? You know, I got a feeling that the reason that this is such a problem with so many denominational churches is because one man that might have been a leader of the theological seminary was speaking and it says, I've tried it and it doesn't work. Therefore, it is not for us today. And then they'll find all kinds of reasons why that can't work. I've heard these reasons. I've been to those churches. Yeah, the Pentecostals. Some of the Pentecostals get a little bit rough with that. Yeah, it's a sad thing, but what does it say in the Bible? Moderation. You get one extreme that says it's no good, and the other one says that you've got to do it or else you're not saved. Yeah, let's be the ones that are in between. Let's show them that, hey, it is for today. We've got proof in the Word. Jesus even said it. If Jesus said it to those people, do you think that he didn't mean it for us? I mean, he gives us every other reason to believe in him and to say that the Holy Spirit will be upon you or in you. We need to be more bold in declaring that God has given us the power that can overcome the world, just as he said. Glory to the Almighty God, our Father. and to his son, Jesus Christ. He has supplied us with every strength and power and love and a sound mind. He's given it to us, the whole thing to us. If we don't use it, we are being very disrespectful of the Bible. I'm telling you, this is exactly the way I feel. And no matter what I read and believed a long time ago, it's what I believed then was foolishness. I believed what those ministers were telling us in those days. That little church in the South Pacific started out very small, but with all the power of the Holy Spirit in them, they all believed. One of the things that happened in that church also, what they mentioned in this book, that they came to a very strong stream, and this river was flowing very heavily because of the rainy season, and the men wondered how they were going to get across, because that was right in the path. The bridge was pulled away, and the man says, if the Lord wants us to go across, and I do believe that he wants us to go to that village because we were sent that way, let's go. And the man stepped out, and he walked right across that water. They got, I think there was something like 6 or 7 men. The last man stood back, and he says, no. And they, come on, let's go. Well, finally he said, okay, and he stepped out, and he was swept away. Think about it. Do you believe or don't you? How much do you believe? How strongly do you believe? How much do you want to believe the Word of God inside of you? How about the Holy Spirit speaking to you? There's an awful lot that we are missing. You know, when that church saw the fire above them, the people outside took one look and said, something's in that church that's more powerful than anything that we've ever seen. They've never seen anything like that. And their witch doctors and all the rest of those people, the agnostics and all, whatever you want to call them, could not argue. They saw something that was putting a fire inside of them. Now, another little item here is that we don't know how to, we read the Word. We read the Word in the Gospels. We read the Word in the letters. And yet, some of the things we sort of skip over because we just don't quite want to quite understand what we do with that part. Was all about the Holy Spirit and all the things that Paul was saying and all the things that he wrote to the different people. But wasn't the Bible written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? If that is true, then why aren't we listening to it? Why aren't we listening to the Bible? Why aren't we reading, when we read the Word, why aren't we just so excited about whatever we read that it's going to be a fire inside of us, ready to teach other people, ready to reach other people. Speaking in tongues is something that Marie and I have been doing together, praying in tongues more than speaking, I'd say. It's just actually praying. And when we do, there's a peace. And Marie's blood pressure goes down. Right, dear? It's amazing, isn't it? It's a medicine. And it's exciting. You need to be in constant contact with your spirit. And it is imperative. I say it's imperative that you pray in tongues every day. Just to start off. Now, those that can should. Those that can't, pray for it, and you'll get it. Now, I'm going to tell you how that happened with me. When I was in that church where I learned about this, I heard people all around me speaking in these languages. And I thought, why can't I? I went to different meetings where this is all going on. And I've gone up and I had laid hands on me and my forehead and slammed down and then all kinds of things pushed me over. And to me, that was showmanship more than anything. Then one day, after about a year of asking the Lord to break down my mind and my spirit and give me a heart of flesh, finally we got a phone call one night, and it was a problem with someone or somebody, and I cannot remember what it was, not for the life of me. And I was crying. I went into the bedroom. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, how do I pray for this? What do I pray? How do I pray? What do I ask for? What do I need to do? Then he spoke. He says, I've given you two words. Use them. I said, okay. The two words were paradai. Well, that means by God in Latin or whatever language. I said, okay, paradai, paradai, paradai. And I just kept it over. He says, say it again, say it again, say it again, say it again. And I kept on doing this until my mind got off of myself and my mind just finally went blank, I'd say, and all of a sudden it poured out. And it just poured and poured. I couldn't even talk it fast enough. I wanted to get it all at once. And it went on for about, at least 5-10 minutes. That's what I thought. But when I came out of the bedroom, it was about half an hour. But whatever it was, I was so wrapped up and so excited for the Lord. And ever since then, I didn't want to miss a day without doing it, without praying in tongues. And I've done it. I've missed a few days, yes, I know. Too many things are going on. Your mind gets off of it. But I'll tell you, it does relieve your tension. It relieves your mind. It releases your body. It releases your heart. And it is a very beautiful, beautiful way of speaking to God. Because you can just go ahead and pray it because you don't have to worry about what you're saying because the Holy Spirit is doing it through you. Now, I think that someday, one of these days, we have to have a meeting in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, totally. And when we do, those that wish, that desire, I should say, those who desire the Holy Spirit will receive. I believe it. Quietening your mind. Being at peace with God. You get to the place where God can reach you. It's not magic. It's nothing like that. It isn't something that would give you, that you should fear. But this, so many people have been taught that is not for today. And people have got that in their minds. I had a friend in Canada that I went to see one time. We were living here, and this friend of mine, he says, do you believe in the tongues, Harry? I says, yep. Sure do. Oh, yeah, it was my mother's 90th birthday. And I says, yeah, I sure do. He says, tell me how. I didn't know what to say. Anyways, we talked for a while. We were in the park, a beautiful day. I says, the problem right now, Al, is that your mind is so riveted to the fact that tongues is not for today. I says, you've got to get that teaching out of your mind. As you've got to release it. You've got to let it go. Be ready to receive. Well, at that time, he didn't receive it at that time. And there was a party at my mother's place, at friends of my mother's, friends of the family, a beautiful home. All the men sat over here and all the women sat over there. And it was my mother's 90th birthday. And the people asked me, the men in that church asked me, you know, and they knew me since I was a snot-nosed kid. And they knew what kind of a life I was, what kind of a life of a person I was. And it wasn't that beautiful. I was a rebel, totally rebel. And anyways, we were sitting there talking, and I spoke out and I says, you know, I says, I think the biggest problem in the church today is that we disregard the Holy Spirit so much. And I says, the biggest fear is that if somebody speaks in tongues, the church is going to be divided and it's going to fall apart and it's going to all blow up. And this one man asked me, he says, well, do you speak in tongues? And I says, oh, yeah, I certainly do. You pray in tongues? And I says, oh, yeah, I do. And this one girl who was about a year or two older than I am, she came running outside. She came around the corner and said, Harry, you? And I'm not bragging. I says, I'm just telling you what's true. And then she asked me a few questions, and I found out that she and her husband, who's a minister, are of the same thought, the same belief, that the Holy Spirit is there for you every minute. When you come up against a problem, when you come up against all kinds of fears in your mind, getting discouragement, the devil's just attacking you, left, right, and center. What a time to pray in tongues, because he's gone in about 2 seconds. Not even that. In an instant, he is gone. He takes off, running. In fear, the blood of Jesus covers you, and he cannot touch you through the blood. If he touches that blood, he's gone. And he won't do it. We have to get to the place where we are out of the sense of flesh and human thinking realm. We need to get away from that. Now, when you're in speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, well, usually it's praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues is when we have a meeting and we're doing these things. After a little bit of worship, after we have a time for worship, there are times when all I want to do is just pray in tongues. That's all I want to do. I don't care if there's a message or nothing. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord with the speaking in tongues, because it gets you into that realm that you're in the spirit, and in your spirit consciousness is just completely taking over. And that is where the Lord can make things happen. It's not difficult, because it's got nothing to do with you. It's not in your mind. It's in your spirit. Get your mind out of there. Remember, the spirit knows more than your heart and than your mind does. You have every right to ask and desire and to plead with the Lord to give you the ability to pray in tongues. It's just a baptism that he gives you. It's not a baptism. It's not another baptism. It's just the infilling, you might say. Call it a filling. Call it an extra gift. Now, There are women in this church that pray. Intercessory prayers. That's a gift. There are men in this church that have certain abilities. They're all gifts for the edification of the church and for the building of the church. Where does it come from? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Some are preachers, some are teachers. It's all here. Some are administrators. Every one of you have got a gift. Every one of you. And I see some of the gifts that you have. We need to use them for the edification and the growing of the church. Now, I know that Pastor Bob wants to have a day of where we are going to go out and we're going to evangelize the area. We're going to go out and do something. Just exactly what we're going to do, I have no idea, but I think he has an idea what he wants to do. But before we go, I want to see tongues of fire coming out on the top of this church.
And that's where we need the intercessors.
That's right. We need the intercessing prayer. And we can do it. The Lord will do it. He'll do anything that you need. He'll give you all the abilities as long as you're willing. It's exciting stuff. I've wanted to talk to this church about this for years. I've wanted to see this church filled with the Holy Spirit. Totally filled. Where you can walk up to somebody as you see somebody that is sick or ill or something, anything. And you just lay a hand on them and say, hey, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And just keep on walking and watch that person jump up. Oh. There was a woman that I saw. This is something that happened at a church downtown. Marie and I went to this one meeting with some friends, and there was a girl sitting in a group a little further from us. I got to tell you this story. She was sitting there, and she was in tears, and I saw her crying. They broke us up into little groups to pray for each other, learning how to pray for each other, laying on hands of each other. Everybody expressed what their desire was, what they wanted, what they needed, what their problems were. And for some reason, I had to watch that girl. Well, when she walked, I didn't know what was going on, but she had her knees bent about, they weren't straight, but she had to walk with her knees bent very severely. And they walked her to the corner of the building, that would be, say, in that corner there, and I was standing over here, and I was watching. And I was watching. I just, for some reason, and I finally just stopped playing with these people, and I reached out and I said, Lord, heal that girl. Heal that girl. Heal her. You know, I my heart went out to her, and it was amazing. All of a sudden, I heard a hallelujah, and she was on the stage just bouncing up and down, just jumping up and down, jumping up and down. And I had to find out what in the world happened. So when she sat down, I walked over there. I sat down beside her, and I says, the joy of the Lord is all over you, isn't it? She says, yeah. I says, what were you healed from? She says, look at my knees. And she had a pair of shorts on. And her knees were scarred with so many scars. I think there was about 3 scars on each knee. She had an operation on knees that were totally non-working, you might say. But the thing is that she was having a terrible time with the straightening them out, getting them to flex again. And she says, I've been wholly, totally healed. I was just kicking her knees like she was kicking her foot like that. And I says, and you couldn't, I says, I saw you walking. I says, before your knees were all bent. She says, yep. But she says, I felt so much heat on those knees. She said, it was so exciting. She said, I couldn't wait to jump around and run up on that stage and run up and down those stairs. You know, and that happened right here in Denver. It happened right here.
Amen.
No, that's healing. Okay, why did she get healed? The power of the Holy Spirit. Who else could do it? Jesus is in you through the Spirit. God is in you in the Holy Spirit. He is We are in him. We are in Christ. We are in Jesus. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what more do you need? What more do you have to have? You can't get any more for the abundant life that Jesus promised us. Give praise to God. Give him all the praise and glory, because this is a new beginning in this church, I believe. And we need more and more and more of it. Till we are so imbued with the Holy Spirit that we would not even consider any other problems. It's meant for us. Jesus says, I give you the abundant life. All you have to do is take it. When you take it, you're filled with the Spirit. Father, thank you. Praise your holy name. Glory to you. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all your bountiful goodness. Don't let us miss this time, Lord. Don't let us ignore the most important part of the whole Bible. Men of old, in olden days, filled with the Spirit and told the people what to do, and doing all kinds of miraculous things. We're not looking for the miraculous, Father. We want to be filled with your Spirit, praying in tongues to you so that we know what to do. It's that quiet time when we pray in the Spirit, Father, that you give us so many ideas, that you teach us. You build us up. We read your word with anticipation. And the Holy Spirit gives us the interpretation of what we need to know from that word of passage, from your holy word. Fill us, Father. Fill us to overflowing. Give us the abilities, because we are willing and we are then able to do what you need have done. We are your feet. We are your hands. We are your mouths. We speak what you give us to speak. And we will pray in the Spirit and in truth. And all things will be to your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Donna has a testimony that would be right along with this, honey bun.
Well, this testimony goes right along with that, I guess. For about the last 2 months, I've had experience where, you know, I've been out walking, like in a grocery store or somewhere, and somebody will pass me, and all of a sudden I just feel this compulsion to pray for them very quickly, and but it comes out in tongues. And I was actually at Savers the other day, and I was, like, you know, looking at jeans or whatever, and there was a lady kind of beside me looking at the opposite rack. And as she came close to me, it was like, I just stopped and I kind of prayed to myself, you know, but audibly, but very softly, in tongues. And she kind of, I kind of opened my eyes because I had stopped, and I opened my eyes and she was looking at me. So obviously she heard me. And I thought, oh my word, she probably thinks, oh, there's a crazy lady in Savers wandering the aisles, you know, like, call the cops. But she didn't anyway. But so I asked God about that, because I kind of embarrassed myself when I did that on Monday. Before this, nobody else had ever heard me do that. And so I was asking the Lord about that this morning, and he said, you know, it's all, for me, it's a part of, because I was like, well, God, I don't even know what I'm praying for. I don't know if I'm praying for the person who's next to me. And he said, it's part of the humbling process when you don't know what you're praying for, because it has to then be between my spirit and God's spirit. And therefore, even if I heard a praise report from somebody down the road, I would never know that it was my prayer that had done that. So there's a humbling process. There's also an obedience process on my part to do it. And, you know, Harry was right on with that. It's a breaking down of your flesh, because your flesh doesn't want to commune like that with the Holy Spirit, right? There is this veil between our spirit and the Holy Spirit called our flesh. And it doesn't want to be that close, because then there's a responsibility, right, to respond to it in the future. So that's my testimony, that this has been happening to me more and more over the last couple of months, that I have no idea who I pray for when I pray for them, if it is that person who I happen to be passing. Or, but the other thing was that in conjunction with that, that the time I spent this morning with the Lord, he gave me a vision that in the near future, I will pray that way. And then I'll go up to the person. And the vision he gave me was, I went up to this woman and I said, your daughter's going to be okay. And she knew exactly what I meant. And I did not know this woman. So there's another responsibility. When God starts laying this stuff on your heart, there's going to be a responsibility sometimes to speak out about it and to speak to somebody else.
Amen. We many times put obedience in the context of hear and obey. But many, many times that obedience is hear and pray. Hallelujah. You know, you're out at 4 o'clock in the morning, going down the street like this, just praying along. People are liable to look at you and think you're wacko. That's all right. That's right. They can think whatever they want. I'm a fool for Christ. When we lived over on Green Mountain, and I would get up every morning as I do now at 4 o'clock and go out for my morning church, and my route would take me past West Metro's Fire Station 4 over there on Alameda. And I don't know how many times I would go past there just about the time they would roll out on a call. Well, I got this revelation one day that I should start praying into those situations. So I did. Every time I'd see those fire trucks go flying out of there, well, I'd just start praying. You'd never believe how many times in about 5 minutes they'd turn around and come back. Whatever it was, problem solved, devil defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's that simple. This church is going places. This church is going to do things. You know, we see in a mirror, but darkly. We don't know the whole plan. We just need to be obedient. And we need to pray. And we need to work. Like they say, pray like it all depends on God. Work like it all depends on us. And we definitely, you intercessors, have an important job to do, as you well know. And, of course, we appreciate your covering for our time of ministry on and visitation on Tuesday evening, as well as everything else. Everyone is important. Everyone has a job to do. Hallelujah. Now, before we get out of here tonight, I don't want anybody going if they need prayer. And that would be me. I need prayer. I got some symptoms in the body, you know. And all this stuff that's been going around, and I just don't need it. So let's just pray over it and get it out of here. Anybody else got the same thing going on? Deborah? No? All right. Well, I'm just going to stay here. I stand here, and I'm just going to raise my hands to the Lord, and I'm going to receive your prayer as the Spirit leads.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for Bob. Father, whatever is coming down on him, we command it to leave in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Bob, in the name of Jesus, you're healed.
Yes. Amen.
It is gone.
Amen.
There's no more words that we can use. It's
done. Amen.
It's finished. And that goes the same for me. Something is trying to attack me. I say, no, in the name of Jesus, you leave me right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I receive it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is finished. Was good enough for Jesus. It should be good enough for us.
Amen. Praise God.
That was good. Hallelujah. Anybody else need prayer? Bob, you doing all right? Okay. Richard? Okay. Hallelujah. The power of prayer. One other little thing I'll mention before we dismiss. Sunday, the 24th. It's going to be a communion Sunday. Bill, would you close us, please?
Heavenly Father, what a blessing it's been tonight to hear your word and to hear about your Holy Spirit and how that is our power that you've given us. Because you and your Son, Jesus, are in heaven, and our connection with you through your Son is the Holy Spirit. And we know we're not supposed to worship him. We worship your Son and you, Heavenly Father. And we just want to have this entire church filled with your Spirit so that we can pray to you and pray what you want us to pray so that we can draw everyone that you want into your kingdom. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you want everyone that you ever created to be there. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.